الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward is for those who have the consciousness of Allah. And surely there is no ill feeling, no animosity, except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah constantly, always, send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way, establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwa, that we should fear Allah Azza wa Jal, hope in the mercy of Allah, never forget our relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Never forget that despite whatever we see in this world, there is one who has power over all things. There is one who has created our universe, put it in place, and set it as a testing ground for human beings and other creations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the final revelation, Al-Qur'an, a text or a set of revelations to meet not only the conditions and the challenges facing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also to speak to humanity, to speak to every living being, every being who would live from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the day of resurrection. Every soul is addressed by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arabi or Ajami, whether they speak Arabic or not, the revelation is set in a way that those who could not speak Arabic could easily learn this, could assimilate it, and benefit from it in the same way that the companions benefited. And so it is crucial for us to look at the words that Allah has revealed, to analyze these words, because these words are not only religious, but they are scientific. They are historical. They are geographical. They are giving us knowledge from a number of directions. In the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the whole of humanity. And in this mighty verse, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, O humanity, O people, be careful of your duty to your Lord, who created you from a single being and created its mate of the same kind, and spread from these two many men and women, and be careful of your duty to Allah, by whom you demand one another of your rights, and respect the ties of relationships. Respect the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah is ever watching over you. This is a powerful beginning to this crucial chapter in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it speaks to the whole of humanity, reminding them that they should have reverence to the Creator, who is the one who began what we know as human life, what some call Homo sapien life, the life where the soul is breathed into a creature in this earth, which changed the complexion of the whole of the planet, and even to a certain extent the universe. So Allah tells us that we should never forget that all of us are made from one essence, one source, whether we are black, brown, yellow, white, whatever complexion, all of us come from one source. And our bodies are mostly made up of water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that we have created everything, every living thing, from water. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. We have made from this H2O every living thing, this liquid. And so this liquid has taken forms. And the form of the human being begins with Adam alayhi salam. And then it goes on to Hawa, may Allah be pleased with her. And from them, as the Quran says, Batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisa'a. So we spread them. We spread them around. It's like you're spreading seeds. And when we look at the migrations of human beings, we see that human beings migrated from the savanna regions of East and Southern Africa, migrated into Asia, migrated into Europe, from Asia across the Bering Straits into the Americas, thousands of years ago. And as the migration continued, some of the human beings stopped in the places. They stopped in sections of Africa. They stopped in sections of Asia. They stopped in Europe. They stopped in the Americas. But other human beings continued to migrate. And the ones who stopped had to adapt to their climates. Some of them were in savanna regions. Some of them were near the equator, close to the equator. And when you are near the middle of the earth, the sun is pouring down on you with the strongest amount of ultraviolet rays. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it into the chemical makeup of human beings, that in the extreme heat, melanin would come in the skin. So those who lived near the equator would have darker complexions to protect them from the sun. Literally a protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who went to the higher regions had less melanin in their skin. And so variation came. Variation came for those who lived in the desert, or those who had to climb mountains every single day, and the size of their body, or those who fished by the ocean, those who live in jungles. Variations came in the bodies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that all of these variations are created from one essence. And that is the message. That is the crucial part of the message. This is how the whole verse begins. That we should never forget that as we spread, we're all the same. We are all literally cousins from the same family. And that we should never forget the relationships that we have with each other. Never exploit our family relations, whether close family or whether extended family. And our extended family extended all over the planet. And so we literally had cousins high in the cold regions. We had cousins in the desert. We had cousins by the sea, cousins in the jungles, cousins in the Sahara. All the regions of the world our cousins were there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that we should never forget our essence and respect our families, respect where we came from, and never forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watching. But in the creation of Adam, and then in his wife Hawa, may Allah send peace to them, something happened. A change happened because of the choice of human beings. And Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, the great Imam of Dar al-Hijrah, pointed out very clearly in his concise way of expressing things. He pointed out in one of his texts, the summary is, أول المعاصي الكبر والحسد والشح حسد إبليس وتكبر فقال خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين فقال تعالى فكلا من حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فشح آدم وأكل منها. So the Imam rahimahullah gave us a concise look into the change that happened from the beginning. And the Imam rahimahullah showed us that the original, the first sins were pride, jealousy, and greed. Kibar, hasad, shuh. Never forget these three elements and qualities and major mistakes that people have made. The Imam continued, taking us back to that early scenario when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and asked all of the angels to bow down and those of the jinn who had made it to the company of the angels. And the Imam showed us that in this scenario, Iblis of the jinn became jealous and he became proud. And he said, "You created me from fire, and you created him from clay." So he distinguished his creation. I am from fire, and this creation is from clay. I'm not going to bow down. And as Allah said, "Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin." He refused to submit. He became proud and arrogant. And because of this, he became amongst the disbelievers. The Imam continued and then said, later on, Allah said to Adam and Eve, "The two of you can eat from ever you would like in the garden, but do not approach the special tree. Don't approach this tree." But Adam became greedy and he ate from the tree. So the three qualities that happened here, out of the jealousy, pride, and the action then that followed it, is greed. So when we think about this, and we think about the migration of people, in trying to understand it, and those who have a general look, an overview of humanity, where did we all come from, recognize that all over this planet, groupings of people, because of either fear or because of greed, have justified the conquest and control of other people. And they use their pride. This is where the pride comes in. So it's something about how they were created. Just like Iblis, may Allah protect us from him. Just like that pride that he had. I'm not like him. And so with human beings moving to different parts of the world and their structures slightly adapting to the climate, it slightly adapts to the climate, and you stay in Canada long enough and you'll see that your nice tan, or you'll see your skin start to change. You go to the middle of the earth, go to the equator for a while, and you start to see your skin changing. So after thousands of years, that change that came about, that was a mercy from Allah, It was used to dominate. And there are many examples of this. But from these examples, I want to look at three of the examples that are clear to many of us. The first example that we can clearly see happened in the 6th century BC, when Aryan people who were living in the high up in either southern Russia or in the Volga River in Europe, because of a famine and a drought, they moved east until they came into India. And they found in India, and they found in the Ganges, a fertile valley. And so they came in as aggressive nomads, as people hungry, as people who, out of their fear or out of their greed, conquered the local people. And so the people of the north, lighter in complexion, conquered the people in the valley, darker in complexion, and used their pride to develop a system that we now call the caste system. And when we look at the caste system, and the Columbia history of the world shows us that in the ancient Sanskrit, the ancient languages, the word for slave was dasa, which means dark-skinned person. And in the ancient languages, the classical word for caste was varna, means color. So literally, it was a subjugation of lighter skin over darker skin. But it was justified through religion. And the myths and the stories, and Asatir al-Awwalin, these fables of those that came before, now gave a religious justification. Fortunately, today that system is being broken down. But it still has an impact upon societies throughout the world. Another clear example of this, human beings now migrating, coming out of Europe into southern Africa, from the Dutch lands of the Netherlands, from the high British Isles, coming down into southern Africa and finding a powerful society, finding riches along the Zambezi River, finding in what was known as Rhodesia, finding in southern Africa gold and diamonds and riches, and subjugated the people using a technology that they had gained, subjugated the people and literally developed a system known as the apartheid system. And this is where this subjugation that we now call racism, it went from an ideology where I think I'm better than you, I believe I'm better than you, to calling you names, like I call you a caste, or I call you this name, and it went into an institution. And in southern Africa, it became a system, and from 1948 until 1994, it was the law of the country that people will be divided according to the color of their skin. Officially according to the law of the land. Fortunately, in 1994, it was broken down. But the effects of this are still having an impact on society. What was happening, what it was, it looked like it appeared to be justified by the Dutch. They used the Bible and tried to say that one of the sons of Noah, alayhi salam, Ham, that he saw his father's nakedness, he was cursed. And he should serve, he should be a slave and a servant for his brothers. So they justified it according to religion. The third form of this, which impacts on us today, is right here in the Americas. When the people of Europe now, bursting out of their continent, sick with the bubonic plague, carrying with them smallpox, measles, chickenpox, all types of flu, carrying rats on their boats, filled with disease, then traveled across the oceans to the Americas, here to the lands that we are living in now. 75 million people living in these lands. Not living in primitive civilizations as we are taught, but living in high civilizations with big cities, with pyramids, with philosophy, with thousands of languages, with agriculture, with medicine, with all of the high parts of culture that we see in many other parts of the world. And it was justified. It was justified through religion that they were civilizing the people of these lands. And so with the disease that they carried, the people became terribly sick. 60% of the people in the Americas died because of disease. Their bodies were not prepared for these diseases. We had fresh water. We had land. We had medicine. We were not prepared for these diseases. And millions of people met their deaths. But resistance happened to this. And this is where we need to never forget our situation today here as Muslims in this land. That the original people in these lands, they resisted in the best way that they could. They let the European settlers come in, gave them homes, gave them food, taught them how to farm the lands, taught them how to survive in the cold weather here. We still wear moccasins and we still are wearing the clothings and the hoodies and Canada Goose and all the other things that did not come from Europe. We still are wearing it, thinking that it's Canadian, but not recognizing that the word Canada originally is Kanata, which is an Iroquois word meaning a large village. And so in this large village was resistance. But disease overcame them. And so in order to deal with the land, millions of people were brought from the African continent. Some reports say that between 20 to 50 million people were affected by the Atlantic slave trade. This, along with the killing of the native people, of the Aboriginal people, can be considered probably the greatest genocide in the history of humanity. And we are living in these lands. They recently now are building a building here in Toronto, and they brought in historians because underneath it they found a wharf, a dock that is 100 years old. But underneath that there is proof of thousands of years of civilization. The very place that we are on is underneath, under the ground. If we dig, you will find the remains of people who lived before us. And the people of African descent resisted. They resisted on the boats. They resisted on the plantations. They resisted throughout the times of slavery, and finally it was abolished. But it didn't end. It turned into another apartheid system. And that apartheid system was not abolished legally until 1965. And so the struggle now for freedom in this part of the world, the struggle to now bring back the human family, it is the elephant in the room. We talk politics and we talk economics, but this tribal war, this hatred inside of our hearts, is one of the greatest struggles that humanity has to face after shirk itself. What do Muslims do in this case? Is it Islamic to be involved in the struggle of people for their rights? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion, when they were talking about Jahiliyyah, they were talking about Mecca in the time of ignorance. So they reminded him that when he was around 12 years old, a war broke out between Quraysh and the Qais A'lan. A major tribal war broke out in Mecca, and he was not fighting, but his family was involved. He witnessed the war. And finally, with the intervention of a person by the name of Abdullah ibn Jada'an al-Taymi, this war called Harb al-Fijar, the sacrilegious war. It was fought in the sacred months of Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. This war was ended in a treaty that was called Hilf al-Fudul. This is the treaty of the righteous, the preferred ones. And in this sacred treaty, two key points were agreed upon. To suppress violence and injustice. And two, to vindicate or give back the rights to the weak and the destitute. The people in Jahiliyyah agreed upon these two points. When they asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, what do you think about this Hilf al-Fudul? And his answer was brought to us by the historians of Islam, that if I were given this opportunity now, I would attend the meeting. I would be involved in this meeting. These are not Muslims. But he said, I will be involved because it is justice. It is righteousness. And that is our example from the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And the time we are living in is a changing time where the poor of the world are rising up. And those qualities, those original qualities, pride, jealousy, and greed. The greed of the 1% controlling the world is now being challenged. The greed of the race, racists, is being challenged. And the jealousy that breaks us into tribes and nations is being challenged. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take any feelings of pride out of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take feeling of hasad and jealousy out of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the feeling of shuh, of greed out of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ranks. Let us hold hands with those of other colors, other languages. And let us see that ultimately the best amongst us is the one who has the taqwa. It goes back to the taqwa again, as Allah said, اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. Keep your duty to Allah. Keep the consciousness of Allah. He created all of us from one source. May Allah help us to return to that one source of unity. And may Allah clear our hearts and forgive us for what we have done. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم أمتي هذه أمة مرحومة ليس عليها عذاب في الآخرة عذابها في الدنيا الفتن والزلازل والقتل ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمتي المال. Every nation has a trial and test. The trial and test of this nation is wealth. ويقول الحق سبحانه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يعمل بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة.